In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Each of the weeks of Advent have a particular theme. The first week of Advent was hope, and this Sunday is peace. At the lighting of the Advent wreath this morning, we just heard, the second candle of Advent is the candle of peace. Peace is a gift that we must be prepared for. God gives us the gift of peace when we turn to him in faith. Peace, peace. What is it to find peace in a world that seems to have little regard for peace? As we witness the dislocation of millions of people around the world due to conflicts, wars, terror, poverty, and fear, how can we speak in a meaningful way about peace? When we are faced with insurmountable losses, both personal and collective loss, how can we find peace? Last week, Harry Deniker preached a sermon on being prepared. Our gospel today takes it a step further. Matthew quotes a passage from the prophet Isaiah in reference to John the Baptist, which says, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." As I reflected on preparing and making paths of the Lord straight and this idea of peace this Sunday, the nexus of these two ideas to me is an injunction to prepare a place within myself to experience the peace of God, to ready myself for the surprise of peace that comes when the act of making peace seems impossible. To prepare a place for peace means creating an attitude and an open invitation to the surprises of God that come, especially when we are faced with the hardships of life. Creating a space for peace is particularly difficult for me the first week of December. Because you see, on December 5th, 2016, was my worst day as a priest. That day I was with a parish family at Connecticut Children's Medical Center making the unfathomable decision of removing their 14-year-old son off life support when the test results came back that he was brain dead from a traumatic head injury in a freakish accident that took place over a Thanksgiving holiday that weekend. It was the hardest thing, being with the family to make the decision and then to remain with them as the only person in the room as he was taken off life support and died literally in the arms of his mother. As a parent, I saw someone else's worst nightmare come true right before my eyes. We are now 3 years past that horrific day, and I find peace sometimes elusive during the time of this anniversary. It remains especially traumatic for his grieving mother, who has difficulty finding peace each and every year, 3 years on. Walking each day without her boy literally creates a sense of terror and loss that I've actually never witnessed before in a person to such great depths. My heart breaks with each of the postings she does on social media. Words truly escape me when I am faced with the reality of her pain and her grief. I simply don't know what to say to her anymore. And yet, in the midst of this terrible situation, God did show up in surprising ways. She took her rage and grief and worked tirelessly to get the Connecticut State Legislature to pass a law requiring children and youth to wear helmets when on bikes or skateboards, which is what her child was not wearing when this nightmare began. So when kids go to the store now and they buy a bike for their kid or a skateboard, they're required to buy a helmet or have a helmet present at the same time. This effort was actually championed by her senator, Kathy Osten, who is also Hebron senator, and I understand just this morning she spent a good bit of time here yesterday at our fair. Even in the midst of her unspeakable pain, she did something to help other families avoid what she had to go through. Making a place for peace by preparing and making a crooked way straight for the Lord is, in my humble opinion, is all about possibilities. Little miracles where the peace of God can settle in small ways and sometimes big ways as well. One of the people who taught me the power of this lesson was the renowned Austrian psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, who is a student of Sigmund Freud's. Dr. Frankl spoke at a convention that I planned in 1998. He came to speak to hospice leaders across the country about finding meaning in suffering and shared his own moment of finding peace while he was in prison in Auschwitz as a young man. He smuggled in a couple vials of methadone. He was able to administer these to his dying father, who was also in the camp. He said the sense of joy and peace of helping his father die created a meaning beyond anything he had ever known before. Because of this and other similar stories that he witnessed, he developed a whole psychiatric theory known as logotherapy. Logotherapy is a type of psychotherapy that believes lack of meaning causes mental health issues. So it attempts to help people to find meaning in order to overcome problems. It is especially helpful for folks who have experienced a tremendous loss or a trauma. Finding meaning in situations that seem to have no redeemable purpose can be a transformative experience for many. This is what I think the gospel invites us to do today. To repent, it says. The word meaning literally to turn around in a new direction, in the face of what appears to be total emptiness and despair. This Sunday, we are remembering the losses we've recently encountered as a parish community. And some of you are here today experience grief and loss of various kinds. And so there will also be a time for healing prayer. Preparing a place for the Lord invites us to strive to create a space in which transformation may occur, where new meaning and purpose can come in the midst of our losses and grief. I'll share one more story of a recent transformation that happened. My mom died some 6 years ago. My sister in particular continues to grieve her death, and she now volunteers for hospice. I was cleaning out a storage drawer in my house one day and came upon my mother's old rosary that had been broken in a few pieces. My neighbor lady who makes jewelry repaired it, and I sent it to my sister a couple of weeks ago. She sent me a very moving email of thanks and said the following. I was sitting with my hospice patient, Anita, who is 95 years old and will be passing in the next day or two. Anita has since died. I've been seeing her for several months, she writes, and have become quite attached to her. As I watched Anita deteriorate, it reminded me so much of another wonderful woman who I greatly loved. I spoke of mother often to Anita and shared pictures and stories of the impact on the type of person she was. But last night, seeing Anita in her bed flooded back all the images and memories of dear mother the last 2 days of her life on earth. And that it was okay to go, the Lord is waiting for her with open arms. And then I reminded her, she will meet another special person with her arms also open, and she will recognize her because I have mom's smile. So you see, this morning when I went to get the mail and found this little red package The timing was incredible. My heart was aching with emotions high. I immediately recognized it and who the owner was. The timing of these events was completely unplanned and unknown, yet the meaning it engendered was immediately evident to my sister, because she is someone who strives to prepare a place for the Lord, creating an open space in the midst of her loss, for God to come in a surprise and bring meaning to an otherwise difficult situation. The rosary, like the methadone for Dr. Frankel, became a vehicle for a moment of transformation, connection, and love. I pray each of us this day finds a way to use this time of Advent to prepare a way for the Lord and make a straight path for him, that God might come and surprise you and me, bringing new life in the places of my losses and yours. May God make this so.